Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, Hong Kong, 1974, Part 2. Meeting our, quote, Chinese gentleman. I mentioned to Prabhupada that one Chinese gentleman wanted to see him. I was referring to young, Pakhe, an educated 28-year-old engineering supervisor for the Hong Kong Telephone Company. He was living at home, regularly attending our classes, reading Prabhupada's books, and chanting Hare Krishna. We were encouraging him to translate Prabhupada's books into Chinese. I left Prabhupada's room and returned a few moments later with our Chinese gentleman. Prabhupada, who was expecting someone elderly, asked, "When will the Chinese gentleman come?" I laughed and replied that he was here, and I pointed to young Pakhe. Prabhupada looked at the serious young man before him. He seemed astonished as my use of the word gentleman, but immediately accepted him as a gentleman. After I explained to Prabhupada about Jung's chanting and profession, Jung asked Prabhupada a relevant personal question. "I am chanting each day at home," he said, "but I don't have an inclination to move into the temple. We Chinese people are very attached to our families. Is this still satisfactory?" Prabhupada looked at him again, as if gauging how to respond. I expected a safe answer that would not pressure this rare soul or frighten him away. But Prabhupada gazed differently. "It is not unusual that you are attached to your family," Prabhupada said. "Chinese people are not the only ones who are attached. Even dogs and birds are attached to their families." My comment. Prabhupada kept his voice even, but his words pierced the peaceful atmosphere in the room. Young Pak was thoughtful, his furrowed brow betraying that he had heard, understood, and was analyzing Prabhupada's reply. A press conference. We arranged a press conference for Prabhupada and quite a few reporters came. "Swamiji, you are an ascetic and you are preaching about renunciation of the material world. Yet you are sitting in luxury in the Hong Kong Hilton. Isn't that hypocritical?" Prabhupada started philosophically. "First, you must understand what is renunciation. Nothing is ours. Everything belongs to Krishna. What is the harm if Krishna's servant uses Krishna's opulence to glorify Krishna?" Prabhupada noted that the reporter wasn't satisfied and took another tact. "Personally," he said, "I'm not attached. I can live under a tree and be satisfied." The reporter's interest increased with the mention of living under a tree. Perhaps he had a human interest story. "But," Prabhupada added, "if I was living under a tree and called a press conference," Prabhupada paused for a moment to allow the situation he was describing to capture the reporter's imagination, "and if I invited all the reporters, would you have attended?" My comment. Everyone laughed. Prabhupada's example made Yukta Vairagya clear. Using Krishna's opulences in Krishna's service was practical renunciation. Passing the question. A second reporter asked a typical and superficial question. "You preach nonviolence and you are vegetarians, yet you have to kill the vegetables you eat. That is also violence." Prabhupada had heard this and other such questions hundreds of times, along with questions like, "What does the mark on your forehead mean? Why do you have that tuft of hair on your back, on the back of your head? Do you think dressing in robes and shaving your head alienates you from most people?" Prabhupada turned to me. "You answer." My comment. I was caught off guard. Part of my Maya was not properly offering the food I was eating. I thought that using my energy in Krishna's service was sufficient. Prabhupada had caught me again, although this time I'd escaped detection by others. Like a student explaining a lesson in front of his teacher, I nervously but carefully explained to the reporter, before the watchful eyes of my spiritual master, the difference between unoffered vegetarian food and prasad. I cannot say for sure if Prabhupada knew of my fault and was consciously using this opportunity to instruct me further, but I felt as though Prabhupada was again reading my heart. Tell us about Guru Maharaj Ji. A third reporter asked Prabhupada a bombshell question. One yoga group in Hong Kong is led by an Indian guru called Bal Krishna Yogeshwar. His followers call him Guru Maharaj Ji. This fellow says that he is Krishna. Would you say something about Guru Maharaj Ji? Prabhupada's eyes narrowed, but he declined to answer. The reporter rephrased his question. Is Guru Maharaj Ji's group the same as your Krishna consciousness group or different? Prabhupada didn't seem interested in making a comparative study. He again avoided the question. He said, we don't know about other groups. If you wish to know about Krishna consciousness philosophy, you can ask. We are not here to speak about others. But Prabhupada was becoming annoyed. The reporter sensed a story brewing and again pushed Prabhupada. What do you think about this Guru Maharaj Ji? His group is spreading quite quickly, isn't it? Prabhupada suddenly decided to answer. His eyes opened wide. This Guru Maharaj Ji is a cheat. Yes, he's a cheat. But Krishna is God. He can be a bigger cheat. The reporters quickly scribbled in their notepads. Guru Maharaj Ji is a cheat, but he will get cheated by Krishna. Prabhupada continued as he sat back on the plush couch, his hands defiantly crossed across his chest. The reporter smiled. They had come for a story, and they got one. The next day, the story broke in the Hong Kong Standard, a major Hong Kong newspaper, that the guru of the Hare Krishna movement had publicly called Guru Maharaj Ji a cheater. Prabhupada smiled broadly when he saw the headlines and had us purchase many copies. The story was later picked up by Time magazine, which ran it on February 11, 1974, under the title Trouble in Paradise. Trouble is stirring in Nirvana. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami of the Hare Krishna movement at a news conference in Hong Kong last week denounced a rival guru, self-styled Divinity Maharaj Ji, 16, now counseling his disciples in California. The ascetic Swami, whose followers constitute a kind of saffron-robed Hindu version of the Salvation Army, began by saying, you've got to decide whether he is God or a dog. Noting the young Swami's luxurious lifestyle, the Swami declared rather ominously, he is cheating people, but he will be cheated in a bigger way. When God meets cheats, he can be a better cheat than they. Our press conference, I thought, was a success. Prabhupada was pleased with the conference, and as soon as it was over, he asked his secretary, Satsang Raj, for the recording of the meeting. But Satsang Raj had neglected to record it. Prabhupada waxed angry. Such an important meeting, and you did not record? I could see Maharaj mentally vowing to always record Prabhupada's talks from that time on. Prabhupada dropped the issue and did not mention it again. My comment, was it Maya for me to feel a little satisfaction, knowing that at least I wasn't the only one Prabhupada reprimanded? Okay, we will stop here. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.